Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal and administrative, and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at dell.com/welcometonow. Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It's Saturday, June 12th. And I don't know about you guys, but over the past week, it's been flaming hot in the Northeast. Many parts of the country are flaming hot. I'm going to keep saying flaming hot. That's your clue as to who our guest is this weekend. It is Richard Montañez. He is the guy who went from being a janitor at Frito-Lay to being one of the people involved with inventing flaming hot Cheetos. He's got a great story. He's got a fun book. It's called Flamin' Hot, The Incredible True Story of One Man's Rise from Janitor to Top Executive. This is the first part of our interview with Richard Montañez. So you got this amazing story. The Mexican-American rises up, rocks and rolls. The Flamin' Hot in the title of your memoir has to do with Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So we booked this interview, I don't know when, Mark, back in April-ish, and the book's coming out now in June. And in the interim, Richard, there was like this crazy-ass long LA Times story. The headline was insanity to me, which is the man who didn't invent Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Why the LA Times come after you, and what's the deal with this story?
I'll never know why they wrote that story, so I have no idea. And my first reaction was confusion. I was like, what? I'm just like, no, this can't be.
They're basically saying that you didn't invent the Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So what is the official PepsiCo response to that? And what's your response to that?
Well, my response to that is very, very simple. All I know is my story. All I know is my life. All I know is what I did. What somebody else did, I have no idea. When PepsiCo came out with their statement, it made me feel a whole lot better. It was a few days of, ups and downs. And first thought was, after 42 years with PepsiCo as a great ambassador, what is this? And then once PepsiCo, began to share that there was, miscommunication or whatever it was, I really don't have any details. I stayed away from details. But when I saw the statement, and then, people came up in my defense. As far as I was concerned, case closed and let's move on.
I mean, look, first of all, you can't control a lot of this stuff. I'd rather kind of talk to you because it is your story. So let's be clear that if you want to read all about this gang, you can just figure it out yourself. But we're talking to the man whose story is inspirational. By the way, frankly, it's inspirational whether you actually created this one product or not. So let's, I have to be honest with you. For all intents and purposes, it could have never been created and it would still be an inspirational story. So let's start a little bit. First, where were you born?
I was born in a small town called Guasti, California. And the history in Guasti, California, it was built by a gentleman by the name of Segundo Guasti. He was an Italian immigrant and he came down and saw that the land was perfect for grapes and wine. So he brought more Italians with them, and he built a little town. And then he needed labor, so that's when the Latinos come in. So it was a town of Italians and Latinos, and it was a very, very, maybe, and again, there's no history, and I'm just talking from my childhood. It might have been 2,000 people there. He built a little general store, very little. He built a church, a replica of his hometown. And, he built buildings there. He built a big restaurant there. He from my understanding, he was a very good man. Of course, he was way before my time. But those are the stories that my grandpa and my dad would tell me.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, your sort of entree into the work world. How did you get to Pepsi? What brought you there? And talk a little bit about your career and what happened.
To go all the way back, you know, I was, looking for jobs. So I worked at a car wash. And in between, I had, temporary jobs, factory jobs. You know, I've done everything. When I got the job at the car wash, one of my old friends, young man, see me and he said, "Hey, I'm working at Frito-Lay." He goes, "They're hiring." I said, "What? They're hiring?" He said, "Yeah." He goes, "Go apply." And I was just like, I was on a cloud. I thought for a moment, Frito-Lay, isn't that the chip company, the Lay's and the Fritos? And I'm like, oh my God, just think if I could get a job at Frito-Lay. That's my big break. That's like, you know, I've never had insurance in my life, you know. And then, you know, I'm starting a family. So like, okay, you know, they have health benefits. They have, you know, that's all I thought about was a health benefit. Like, wow, you know, I could change the legacy for the Montanez family. And I know people would say, what are you talking about? It's a factory. But I've always said, you know, there's no such thing as just any job. You know, when you believe in your heart, you're going to be the best. No such thing as just a janitor. So I went and I applied and I actually, you know, asked them if I could bring the application home. I was a terrible, you know, I struggled with writing and spelling. You know, I still do. Said sure and took it home. And my wife, who has been my inspiration, my partner in everything, you know, I don't know where I'd be if she wasn't around. She filled it out for me. Then I took it back. The HR man, well, they weren't called HR. I think they were called ER, Employee Relations.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it was a long time ago, you know, talking to the 70s. So he looks at it, he stares at it, and then he looks up at me. I'm getting nervous because it's like, I'm just thinking, what is on there that shouldn't be on there, you know? It's like, so he looks at me and then he asks this question, "Did you fill this out?" I said, "Yes." He looks at me again. He goes, "You have nice handwriting." And I just remember, you know, I've been stealing Judy's credit ever since. So,
oh, that's awesome. And so was she working at the time? Were you both working or was she home with kids? What was going on?
She was working part time. So, you know, she was wherever she could get, you know, a part time job, never full time because she was always with the kids. Got the application and, you know, he said, "Okay, you know, can you start tonight?" And I said, "Absolutely."
So you get this job. How do you start moving up in this massive organization?
Well, I think, you know, first I need to, you know, share with you how I shared with my dad and my grandpa. They were so happy for me because in those days it was a union job. Mm. So, you know, everybody wanted a union job, right? And I remember my grandfather said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to mop the floors." And he said something to me that I teach this to young people, and I believe it's the reason I'm successful. He said, "When you mop that floor, you make sure that it shines. When people see it, they know that a Montañez mopped it."
Oh, that's great.
And I, you know, I took that on. I just started mopping the floors. And then I saw, as I was mopping the floor, see, I learned all my leadership through my trials and errors, through the streets, the places that I've been. You know, it's not formal, but yet it doesn't mean it isn't right. It's just a different way, you know. So I saw that I had an influence. And then, you know, people say, "How can you influence? You're just the janitor." And I had an influence without saying one word because my job was to clean the restroom. So I made that thing spotless and made it smell fresh. My job was to clean the break rooms. I did the same thing. My job was to clean all the offices before the managers came in the morning. So I saw that people were going in and like, "Wow, it smells so clean in there. You know, who did that?" The new janitor. "Hey, who cleaned the lunchroom?" The new janitor. And the managers would come in, "Hey, who cleaned my office?" "Hey, that new guy, Montanez." So I saw that, wow, I'm having an influence without even saying a word. I'm putting a smile on people's face without saying a word, just going by what my grandfather said. But then, you know, I don't remember how long it was, but there's a probation period. My boss, I still remember his name. His first name was Jim. At the end of my probation, or 2 weeks before the end of my probation, he called me in and he said, "I'm going to have to let you go." I was devastated.
Freaking out.
I was devastated. My big break, and I blew it, you know. And I begged him for another chance, and I said, "Well, what's the problem? You know, I'm doing what I'm told." He goes, "That's not the problem. You're doing what you're told. You just show no initiative." I didn't know what that meant, so I went home again to Judy, who's, you know, an intelligent person. You know, I said, "What does the word initiative mean?" So she read it to me out of the dictionary, and I was stunned. Since that day, I think I've gone overboard. I think that's why I am the way I am. I never wanted anybody to ever tell me I showed no initiative. But see, here's what he meant, is I was doing such a good job that I was finishing you know, my duties and half the time, because I wasn't messing around. So what I would do is I would start all over again. He goes, you do what I tell you to do, but when you finish and you have time, you don't do anything else. So I figured it out. So once I finished, you know, my daily shift, you know, whatever time I had left, I started helping other people. I started taking other people's trash out. I started going on out into the floor. I started learning the equipment. Other managers were saying, hey, you know, thanks for letting us use Richard.
Now it gets sort of like you sort of become, you're being spoken about.
Yes, yes. And you know, he's like, what do you mean? I didn't let Richard do anything. He goes, no, I know, but he helped Frank take out the trash, or he took Frank's trash out. And these guys were line operators. They were the pilots. You know, I've gone to and done things that weren't my job, but that's who I am today is, you know, I'm going to do something that you don't pay me to do.
We'll be back with you tomorrow to hear more about how did those flaming hot Cheetos come to existence. I asked for a crate of them. None has arrived. I just want you to know that. So I still haven't tasted them, but I plan to. If you have a financial question, maybe you have an idea for the next hot snack food, give us a holler. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. Do us a favor. Go over to Apple. Leave us a review and a rating. It helps us. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to lift someone up today. Grit, growth, grace. We'll talk to you tomorrow.